Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
I heard you mention Dick Biondi's name.
Dick Biondi.
Dick Biondi.
The Wild Australian.
Do you know the story?
No.
That got him fired?
No.
No, I'm not. It's a sexist joke, and I'm not going to tell it, but I just want to find out how many people know it. If women's skirts, that's all I'm going to say. That's the first part of the line. This is a true story. He got fired for this one, and he told the story in maybe the late 50s or the early 60s when you couldn't, you couldn't, and the story is an innuendo, more than just a kind of a direct, crude remark like we used to do at QMF in the morning. I cried. I sit up in the mountains and I listened to the air checks of that, and I cried. I definitely would not play that for my Red Brothers. They already thought that I was having a problem understanding what reality was. But those tapes, oh.
Do you remember him on WBKW, I believe, in Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
From what, 50?
KBW.
Do you remember that?
KBW.
Well, all I can remember is we used to go down to Kentucky Lake.
Right
after they had put the dam in, and my father used to fish down there. I mean, we're talking like drive from Louisville down the old roads like every weekend.
Mm.
And they would fish all night long.
Mm.
And so when you're in Gilbertsville, I mean, it's like there aren't any stations to pick up.
Right.
Other than the clear channels.
That one in John Richburg down in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow. Well, WLS was the one to listen to, and Biondi was absolutely insane.
Yes, he was.
But is he still in the business at all?
I don't know. Ike, is he?
Someone told me that he is. That maybe he's a programmer or a consultant someplace. No,
probably doesn't do any air stuff at all then anymore.
I don't think so.
He was just bonkers. And of course, being down there on the weekends, it made it a little hard to listen to. Louisville radio.
Now let's
other than HAL.
Let me ask you honestly: were you guys down there really fishing, or is this what you told Mom?
Oh no, Mom was there.
Oh,
Mom no, it was a family affair. It was a family affair.
All right,
but
that's what I always said about Kentucky women.
I just didn't want to stay down on the bank fishing all evening, and I'd grab the keys and run up, tune the radio in the car. And Chicago was. They would stay. You could catch them most all evening without a major amount of fade.
Yeah.
Do you remember Cousin Brucey on WLS?
No.
Bruce Morrow?
Yeah.
Bruce Morrow.
Back
Cousin
in, I was in high school, 60, 5, 6, something like that, 67.
No, this would
go
this
park
would
about
probably
2 o'clock in the morning someplace with a nice, well, we won't get into that.
Yeah. Women's
and with those cars that had all that chrome up and down the side, and those big seats, and you turn up the radio and put up the antenna.
Ike's a newsman. You have to forgive him. He has to come out of the set.
That's right.
I understand. Now, AM radio with the big 6x9 speaker in the rear with the reverb unit. Now, that was the way to listen to radio.
Mm-hmm. 9:46. We want to make sure everyone is tuned in at midnight. When lots will be drawn as to who is going to hold on to the frequency forever.
Well, I was going to say, a while ago, I guess it's been about 40 minutes ago, the transmitter struck twice. So if make sure that Pete doesn't already have his hand on the switch.
Well, we conned Pete into going out to the restaurant, see, and the guys are going to hold him in the restaurant. There are a couple of my old friends are out there to keep Pete occupied.
Good thinking.
So
have you taken care of Jerry, too?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Anyone with a conscience and with any ethic at all has been tied up outside the station. So we may be able to hold this thing who knows how long. And if we can get some of my friends from the 138th Artillery, I know that a lot of the National Guard guardsmen that I served with, they're probably guardsmen and women these days, if we could get them to volunteer and just suit up for the weekend and put a cordon around the station, we could probably hold it for, I don't know, 6-8 months. How long did the brothers hold Alcatraz? We could probably hold it as long as the brothers held Alcatraz Island.
I've only got 42 more empty 7-inch reels.
But I got a record collection. Get it in, and we can do it. We may not have spots. I don't know.
We'll get Nikki and Chris to sneak out. You know, we'll tunnel out of the place and keep a steady stream of coffee and donuts.
Donut holes.
Right.
And big boys.
I would think that somebody ought to be able to find a flagpole somewhere.
All right.
Built...
Let's organize this. I've never tried organizing before, and this has just the right kind of flair.
I love it.
We'll have somebody ship in some uniforms. We don't need weapons.
That's right.
We won't need weapons at all.
We won't lower power either.
Not with mouths like these. We don't need weapons at all.
We'll leave it on 10,000 watts all night.
We have a tape.
You can hear us from here to
if I can get this tape
South
on
America.
You guys just keep the show rolling while I try to figure out how to get this tape.
Okay, I got one more question, and I'll clear the line here.
Okay.
Who was it that sat in the shack at the ranch house on Preston?
On Preston Highway?
Yeah, like for a couple of weeks on end.
Okay, we've got to remember
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it was probably, for the life of me, I think it was a wacky.
I think it was, too.
But I don't remember which one it was, but there was a shed or a shack or a tower or
right.
something that was built
on stilts, right?
On stilts there at the ranch house at Preston and Phillips Lane.
Right.
And I don't remember what the reason was, but the guy was up there for
you weeks. Didn't have to have a reason.
Well, that's true. I mean,
and
it was
remember there was and I'm not sure whether this happened in this city or another one of the cities that I worked in, but they had a glass tank filled with water, and the guys had scuba gear on, and they went down underwater, and they had microphones in the rebreather, or whatever they call that, and they did that kind of marathon. Gary, did you ever do any marathons? There weren't too many in the city.
Just study.
Okay. Well,
hold for it down, will you?
Yeah, someone will figure it out. Here's a tape of D. Humphrey. If the quality, we haven't checked the quality on it, but we'll do that. And you have a good one. Thanks for being on tonight.
Thank you. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, boy, that's great quality.
And thanks, Jim Thompson, for stopping by.
Well, sounds like it comes from Chicago. It's a bad night in Chicago.
He was in Chicago when he did it.
Okay, D, sorry, guy. We surely would have loved to have that on the air, but what can I tell you that you don't already know about it? Well, we're going to play some music. It's 9:50. We're trying to hold on to this AM station for as long as is humanly possible without weapons.
WKLO.
WDJXAM Louisville. Thanks. With Adventures, I'm Mason Lee Dixon, and this is Rusty, and is Gary, and is Ike, and is Nikki, and is Gary's 18-year-old goddess, Sweetums. Remember that character? What was the character on KLO? The cartoon character that they used to do in the old days on KLO. They used to have, some of the guys used to use, I remember Jack Sanders and Jerry Barr and those guys used to use El Kabong,
yeah.
Right? And there were a couple of guys on KLO.
Well, they have verbal art.
You know? And
right. Well, we used Tweezy Dog for a long
right.
time.
Yeah,
Tweezy Dog.
That was the one. What was his name? Does anyone know?
I was called the Wheezy Dog.
The Wheezy Dog? Come
yeah.
on. Come on.
What about the Drunken Duck?
That was my duck, yeah. That was Quincy.
Quincy.
They made it. He became a cartoon character, the dog did.
Yeah.
All
I know is it was the dog that when you gave him some dog bones,
yeah,
floated
yeah,
up
yeah,
in the
yeah,
air.
Wait.
Right, that's the one.
Yeah.
All right, hey, you win the prize. I don't know. Here, we'll give you a copy of The Ventures. Walk, don't run. Out of the oldies.
Well, what we really should be doing is starting to auction off all the stuff that we have here and give all the money away to charity.
We could
do that.
To my charity. Okay, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Well, we're pretty feeling pretty good.
Oh, good.
How do you feel?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Well, can we come and follow and find out if you feel pretty good or not?
Oh, no, thank you.
We're all reverting. We need to calm down and realize.
I want to get the tan that y'all had the contest called Beat the Bomb.
The Bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, Russ.
What about Beat the Bomb?
All right.
I'll tell you anything I don't remember about it.
When they had the contest, when they started the contest out.
Right.
You know, it started with $1 a second.
Right.
And they went up to $10 a second because nobody get no line, no hospital line, no police line, nothing.
Right.
They said, what did they tell all the lands up for? They said, what kind of contest? I said, they got everybody.
It was a contest you couldn't win. That was the reason we did it. We did contest you could not win because we actually didn't have any money.
Any
that was
money
the reason
for
we
prizes.
Did it. You know, during a period where we tried to do a contest, we just make it up.
It was funny because everybody was trying to get it.
And nobody got it, did they?
Yeah, some of them people did get
they
it.
They did? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. All of them went on it.
I remember during Christmas time, we'd have the Santa Claus thing where you'd call up.
Yeah.
And we actually would have losers. I'm serious.
Not,
you know.
Not what? $10. You know. Exactly, y'all didn't.
Well, this is a totally different contest.
On Beat the Bomb, y'all didn't.
On Beat the Bomb, we didn't.
Uh-uh. Y'all had quite a bit win on that.
Yeah, we did.
See Rusty's
it
trying
lasts
to...
a week.
That's right.
It lasts a whole week. I think everybody in Louisville was playing it.
I tell you. It's like radio bingo. You know?
I know it.
Would you like to tell everyone who you are? You can say hi to the family and maybe ask the boss for a raise or something on the air.
Nah, I'm not talking to give me no raise.
You never know until
you
ask.
Like I had, no doubt.
Now, that's right, Joe did.
They thought that I should be grateful that they were just allowing me to come back into the station.
True.
The next
right. I know somebody doesn't know who I am.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, who?
Rusty.
Is this Marcella?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. I don't remember the contest. That's why I was making it up.
Rusty's getting old.
I remember it.
Well,
no,
you,
I remember.
See, I have people that walk up, and I'm sure everybody here has got people that walk up to them that know that we've worked on the radio one time or another and say, I remember the day you did this. And we go like, oh, yeah. And our brain is totally dead because we don't remember exactly what it was they were talking about.
To tell you the truth, we don't remember what we said yesterday. We're trying to forget a lot of it.
Oh, nah, you ain't. You're trying to make yourself old and what you are.
No. We're not older than what we are.
Hey, Gary left his girlfriend by herself.
Yeah, I know. Uh-oh. You want to shut the door?
Yeah. Let's shut the door and put her on the air and let her tell all of the...
Come here, Rita.
Rita.
Come here, Rita. It doesn't hurt.
No.
See, according to Tom Dorsey and everyone else that is around, nobody listens to AM radio anymore. So.
Okay. Say hello.
She's so shy.
I know. Well, it's like, you know, you have to say something because they can't hear your brain rattling there. Come on.
Y'all good people.
Hello, radio world.
She is now immortalized.
There it is.
And so are you, Marcella. It's nice hearing from you again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Rich.
Yes.
Rich Gimmel.
Who is this?
This is Mason.
My gosh. Jason. Who are the other guys there with you right now? Is Ike still there, too?
Rusty. Ike is in the building. This is Rusty Rogers.
Rusty Rogers.
Gary Griffith.
Is Ike still there?
Yes.
He's here in the
Ike
building.
Is there. I worked with Ike. We worked across the street from each other in Lexington for a while.
Did you?
Jay Rabbit.
Yes.
Or Mr. Bratcher.
Yes.
Or,
speaking in the flesh.
A.K.A. I have a trivia question.
He's really Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yeah, right. Bob Klein would probably know the answer to this.
Yeah, Bob is...
I've been racking my brain all day, and somebody may have already discussed it. You know, you fellas were talking about Lee Gray being a little bit headstrong, but of course he didn't really have a corner on that market.
Peace and love.
Mitch Michael could get right up there with the best of them in that department. And I was trying to remember the name of the guy that Mitch fired on the air. Does anybody remember that? Fired him on the air. Chuck somebody in about 1966.
Who did Mitch Michael fire on the air?
Fired him on the air. Somebody out there knows.
Well, I remember one night when Bob Klein quit on the air one night.
Oh, really?
He actually got up and left the station and quit.
Well, there were a few guys that were fired in the middle of their shifts, but they kind of, you know, they didn't really make a big deal out of it until the world. This was a case in which, you know, back in the, in about 65, 66, KLO was getting all of the Beatles records, and they were getting them first. And it was driving Wacky absolutely bananas.
It's Ringworm.
Oh, listen, they came on with Here, what was it, Here and There and Everywhere, I think, was an exclusive that KLO had, and of course they'd run the stab about three or four times in the middle of this, so Wacky couldn't tape it and play
right.
it. And Chuck, this one disc jockey, Chuck somebody, and I can't for the life of me remember his last name. He intros this thing, and of course he's supposed to give it a big build-up because it's a KLO exclusive, right?
Right.
And he comes on, he says, you know, exclusive to the world, et cetera, et cetera. The Beatles on KLO. And he says, who cares? And up comes the record, right?
Right.
Record ends. Next thing you hear is Mitch Michael saying, well, in response to the question posed by Chuck Da-Da, the question being, who cares? We, the people of Louisville, care.
Oh, no, I can feel it coming.
As a result, Chuck so-and-so will not be heard on Radio WKLO anymore. Whew. And he went on and finished the guy's shift for him.
He must have been a part-timer. That's all I can think of.
No, he was
really?
One of the full-time guys. It happened on a weekend, though, because at that in that day and age, everybody worked 6 days a week.
Hmm.
The guys pulled three or four hours a day on the air, I think, and then they also pulled a weekend shift, too.
Yeah, that's
Rich, have you ever had that happen to you? Not on the air, but have you ever had the guy sit you in the desk in front of him and go through it and fire you?
I think everybody in this business has been fired. I mean, you haven't been around the block in broadcasting unless you've been fired at one time or another. I got fired at one time in Lexington. This was shortly after I participated in organizing a union at the radio station.
Well, we'll get you fired every time.
Yeah, that's right. But
see, we're passing out after cards here.
Probably gone through a little bit of the golden handshake, as it's called.
Yeah.
So I spent about 20 years in that business. I started out at KLO, actually doing news for free while I was a junior in high school in 1966.
Okay, so
I like that guy. Bill
they really
Stakeland.
Liked my
Bill
price.
Stakeland was definitely a shark in those days.
So what do you do now for a living?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be able to go into my family's manufacturing business after.